Good afternoon, Madam President, distinguished guests, colleagues and friends. It's fantastic to see so many of you here at our 48th annual conference in the Stormont Hotel, and a particular pleasure for me to welcome you all to East Belfast. Each year when I begin to prepare my conference speech, usually in the middle of the night before conference, I start by looking back over the last year's speech and reflect on everything that has happened in the course of the last 12 months. When we met here last year, we did so in the wake of Assembly elections and celebrating our highest number of votes since 1979 and our highest share of the vote since 1987. Little did we know when we met, however, that we were about to do it all again. In a snap general election last June, when the Prime Minister decided to roll the dice to increase her parliamentary majority ahead of Brexit negotiations. A divisive and rancorous campaign, yet again exploiting the politics of fear and division, was reflected in a result which almost entirely balkanised Northern Ireland. Further, the Prime Minister's high-risk strategy was ultimately ill-fated and delivered a much weakened Westminster government, now reliant on a confidence and supply arrangement with the DUP. That closer relationship between the DUP and Conservatives not only raised fresh questions about the ability of government to act impartially as co-guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement, but also led to a sense that they permanently had one hand tied behind their back during the negotiations, with no ability to exert any meaningful pressure to get a deal done. And so the tone for a long and frustrating year of political stagnation was set. Government unwilling or unable to reconfigure the talks to enhance the possibility of success, the number of parties around the table getting fewer and fewer, the scope for agreement becoming narrower and narrower, the points of disagreement becoming increasingly intractable, and the likelihood of success becoming more and more remote with each successive failed attempt. Yet whilst it has been a year marked by political stagnation in Stormont and huge frustration for both the public and for this party at the lack of progress towards restoring the devolved institutions for alliance, by contrast, it has been a year in which we have, at party level at least, continued to take real steps forward. Despite the divisive nature of the Westminster election, we ran a strong campaign and consolidated our results, and I thank all of you who played an active role in that. We've also continued to see new members stepping forward in record numbers over the last year. That momentum has led to continuing growth of our local associations in areas where we have currently either no or limited elected representation. We have seen associations being reconstituted in places like Newry and Armagh, and activism and campaigning taking place in a number of our key growth areas, culminating in our first one-day autumn conference in Foyle in October. Such was its success that we had three strong bids for autumn 2018 before the day was over. That's one for Sharon Lowry and her crack team of staff to start work on later this afternoon. Well, maybe Monday. On a more serious note, I do want to thank Sharon and the staff at headquarters, at the Assembly, and in our constituency offices for all they do, not just for this party, but for Northern Ireland. These have been a difficult few years, full of uncertainty, and we hugely appreciate the dedication and commitment that they have shown us throughout. More recently, we held the first of our planned action days, starting in OMA, led ably by our local team there and supported by people from right across the party. And I want to thank each of you who stepped forward to help. Most of all, though, I want to thank Stephen Donnelly for the commitment he has shown to maintaining that development work on the ground and providing a consistent and coherent voice for the Alliance Party, its values and vision. I'm sure that you will all want to join with me and congratulate Stephen on his selection as our candidate for the forthcoming Westminster by-election in West Tyrone. I hope that each of you will step forward and support him practically as we go to offer the people of West Tyrone a shared, inclusive vision for the future and full-time representation in Westminster. Yeah. Right across our associations, I have been hugely encouraged by the level of commitment and energy which you, as members, have demonstrated at a time when it would be easy to be jaded or cynical about politics. Having had the opportunity to meet with almost all of our local associations and council teams in the last 2 to 3 months, it has not only been enormously energising, but it has been a great opportunity to discuss how we intend to develop the party further in the months ahead, and particularly prepare for the local government elections in 2019. Whilst reflection is always the starting point for my speech, I think that this year, more than most, there is good reason for reflection, meeting as we do in the run-up to the 20th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. Last night at our conference dinner, in both the words of Senator Mitchell's message and in the panel discussion, we were reminded of how in 1998, with the signing of that historic accord, the feeling that we had crossed a political Rubicon in Northern Ireland politics was palpable. Of course we knew, indeed Senator Mitchell explicitly warned at the time, that there would be challenges ahead and a lot of hard work to do to maintain progress. However, the Good Friday Agreement set out the basic building blocks for a stable and inclusive society. Commitment to peace and a culture of lawfulness. The principle of consent. The need for power sharing within Northern Ireland. Good relationships internally with an emphasis on reconciliation and integration. And strong cooperative relationships with and between our nearest neighbours. Those fundamental principles were the essence of the Alliance vision for devolution when the party was formed almost 50 years ago, and they remain the only feasible way forward for this society. The architecture and structures may change and evolve, but those key elements still are the route to unlocking our difficulties past and present. It says much more about the growth of this party, I think, that many of our members, many of you here today, are too young to have any real recollection of Northern Ireland pre-1998. Last night, Hannah Irwin spoke powerfully about her hopes for the future as someone who was born just a month before the Good Friday Agreement. For those of you in that category, it is perhaps hard to comprehend the sense not just of relief, but the sense of possibility that accompanied that historic signing and the yes result. For me and for those of my generation, the Troubles were the backdrop to our entire childhood and teenage years. And for some of you, it was the backdrop from which you tried to shield your own children as they were growing up. I was born in 1971 at the start of the Troubles and had known nothing else my entire life. The abnormal was my normal. We lived smaller lives, constrained by both geography and fear. We knew our own neighbours and neighbourhoods, and there was reassurance in that familiarity in times which were turbulent and uncertain. As I watched Derry Girls earlier this year, Lisa McGee's brilliantly written coming-of-age story of four teenage girls growing up in Derry in the 1990s, it resonated with me. Many of the misadventures could have been set almost anywhere, but the black humour was most definitely Northern Ireland's. However, the last few moments of the final episode of the series captured for me the reality of growing up in the Troubles, in the juxtaposition of two scenes. The first of the girls laughing and dancing in the safety of their school, without a care in the world. The second, a room full of adults, concern etched deep on their faces as they gathered around a television to watch the unfolding news of a horrific bomb attack and the loss of life. It was a timely and a powerful reminder of how fragile the normality we sought to construct in the worst times really was, and of how horror and brutality managed to force its way back into our everyday lives. It was a reminder of how far we have come. To see all that end, initially with the ceasefires in 1994, the first time in my life I thought things might change, gave many of us hope. That hope was cautious and tentative, because we'd had false dawns before. But in 1998, with the Good Friday Agreement, flawed and imperfect as it was, it felt like that hope became real and tangible. We now find ourselves in a very different context. We're not just the agreement, but hope itself. The very sense of possibility seems to be in short supply. Yet we need both if we are to find a way through our current difficulties to realise the full potential of that agreement. What happened in the last 20 years is important. What happens in the next 20 years is ours to shape. I believe it is our job in Alliance, as it always has been, to re-inject that sense of hope, of possibility, back into our political discussions. We could choose to despair that in 1998 society could take such huge steps forward on issues such as ceasefires, prisoner releases, decommissioning, and yet now are stalled by relatively small issues by comparison. Then the distance between parties seemed like a chasm. Now the gaps seem incredibly narrow and yet almost more impossible to bridge. But I refuse to give in to a council of despair. I choose instead to believe that what we were capable of once, we will be capable of again. These are different times politically, socially and economically, whether we look locally, nationally or internationally. The 1990s saw the rise of Cool Britannia, the Celtic Tiger was prowling and there was a sense of confidence about our place in the world and what the future might hold. New Labour swept to power on the promise that things could only get better, a song which captured the mood of the time, and in these islands as much as anywhere we were riding a wave of optimism. We were partners in Europe, we could be partners at home. That optimism has long since been replaced by a sense of uncertainty about the future. Brexit is unpicking the political, social and economic relationships on which we have come to rely more in Northern Ireland than perhaps anywhere else in these islands. Increasing protectionism and nativism in politics, growing insularity, bordering at times on xenophobia, is in stark contrast to the focus on globalism, multiculturalism and interdependence of the 1990s. Supporters, of course, will argue that Brexit is about being more open and more engaged independently and confidently with the big wide world beyond Europe. However, it is hard to take that seriously when the very same people were in a state of near apoplexy this week at news that their beloved blue passports would be imported from France. Just like the word passport itself. How can they hope to do trade deals if the end goal is to import nothing? Ourselves alone isn't a recipe for economic success in any language. Yeah. Whilst optimism can help create fertile conditions for progress, it is trust that enables us to step forward and build for the future. Lack of transparency and openness and a failure to deliver on commitments has poisoned the political well. Recent revelations at the RHI inquiry that this culture of secrecy had begun to infect even the civil service, with the admission that they routinely failed to minute meetings to avoid embarrassing ministers and evade the scrutiny of freedom of information requests, is a damning indictment of a lax approach to governance in some departments. The almost conspiratorial approach that seems to have pervaded parts of the system, keeping not just the public but other ministers in the same government in the dark about key decisions, is toxic to trust and confidence. Politics needs checks and balances of accountability and scrutiny to protect the public interest and ensure independence and professionalism from both ministers and civil servants. That is why we continue to place openness and transparency at the very heart of our political campaigning, both in terms of party political donations and good governance, whether in the Assembly or Executive or at local council. While I welcome the fact that all large donations since last July will now be made public, the decision not to backdate that measure to January 2014, as enabled by my amendment, co-sponsored by a former Conservative Secretary of State, marks a massive U-turn. To hide behind consulting the local parties is a bit like holding a vote in a turkey shed about whether or not we should have Christmas. This is not about what local parties want. It is about the right of local voters to know who the major donors are and to decide for themselves who pulls the strings. Alliance will continue to lead on this as we have done before and press for that original date to be reinstated and for a review of the threshold at which donor information should be published. Just this week, the Lib Dems again raised this matter in Northern Ireland Questions and tabled an early day motion on the matter, for which I am hugely grateful, and Labour have also pledged their support for our position. And in local councils, whether in Lisburn and Castlereagh, where we are pressing for an independent member to be added to the audit panel in line with best practice, or in Belfast, where having successfully pursued recording of meetings, we have now taken our concerns about transparency of funding to the audit office. We will continue to lead the way on accountability and transparency. So there is a lack of optimism and a lack of trust, but at the heart of our current malaise, there is a lack of vision, and particularly a shared vision for our community. The yes vote in 1998 laid a foundation on which we could build not just a stable and peaceful future, but also one in which we were reconciled to our neighbours and integrated as a community, the core vision of this party. Yet the hard yards of reconciliation and integration were by and large left to individuals, communities, voluntary groups, with little or no real political support or encouragement from the other parties. Instead, tribal politicians continued to emphasise difference, exploit divisions, and use fear as a motivator to rally their vote, rather than seeing the enormous benefits for the whole community of celebrating our diversity as an asset and recognising that it enriches rather than diminishes us. As most of you came here today, you will have passed through the legendary townland that is Ballyhackamore, this week named as the best place to live in Northern Ireland by The Times. So what makes it so special, apart from the fact that I live there? Well, it's one of the most mixed and integrated parts of East Belfast, not just in terms of the religious makeup, but also in terms of social mix and age. In that settled environment where people feel safe and secure to live and work and socialise, business has flourished and a sense of community has grown. That is my vision for everyone in East Belfast, not just in the relatively affluent suburbs like Ballyhackamore, but for every neighbourhood from Ballymacarrot to Ballybean. If we can create communities which are open, shared, safe and welcoming, they will flourish and prosper and everyone will benefit. And the same is true for Northern Ireland as a whole. Building that shared vision is challenging in an environment in which both Brexit and the collapse of the institutions are increasingly pulling communities apart, unionists looking increasingly to Westminster, nationalists to Dublin. In doing so, there has been a failure to focus on the challenges which our community faces together and together to seek those solutions. That requires leadership, leadership which at so many critical points over recent years has failed to materialise. We need the kind of courageous and generous leadership which is willing to take risks, to bring people to where they need to be and engender in them the confidence to make the necessary steps forward towards mutual respect and accommodation. Whilst leadership may be lacking elsewhere, however, it was very prominent this morning on our local government panel, where Lord Mayor of Belfast, Nuala McAllister, Mayor of Lisburn and Castlereagh, Tim Morrow, High Sheriff of Belfast, Carol Hard, and Deputy Mayor of North Down, Gavin Walker, talked about their year in office and the opportunities that presented for them to demonstrate in practical ways what civic leadership by Alliance can achieve. I want to congratulate Nuala, Tim, Gavin, and your families for all that you've achieved this year and for how well you have represented this party at home and abroad. You have done us proud. And I wish Carol every success in her year ahead. I especially have to congratulate her for managing to get Prince Harry and Meghan Markle as her first official royal visit. It would be remiss of me also not to say a particular thank you to the chair of that panel, group leader in Belfast City Council, and all-round wonderful guy, Councillor Michael Long. I know better than most just how much time and energy he invests, not just in leading our team, but in showing the kind of courageous and tenacious leadership that will shape a better council and a better city for the future. I'm hugely indebted to him for that and for much, much more. But conference, I see that creative and courageous leadership in abundance each week as our Assembly team meets at Stormont to plan the week ahead. It is not an easy time to be an Assembly member, but despite the challenges, I am surrounded by a team full of energy, ideas and guts, who continue to work tirelessly to develop policy and fresh legislation for when devolution is restored, who deliver for their constituents with practical help and advice, and who are always prepared and informed to articulate publicly the party's position. To Kelly, to Stephen, Paula, Trevor, David, Stuart and Chris, thank you for your leadership and for your support for mine. Since the collapse of the most recent talks, there has been no indication of how government intends to move forward and get parties around the table again. There has been a complete lack of forward momentum. We've spent the last 14 months in care and maintenance. The big decisions about reforms required to deliver high quality sustainable health, education, infrastructure and economic development are simply not being taken. That cannot continue. The people of Northern Ireland deserve, they need a functioning government. The drift is unsustainable. Lack of optimism, lack of trust, lack of vision, leadership, lack of forward momentum. All of that led us this week to publish our next steps forward, our route map to restoring devolution and dealing with the backlog of decisions affecting those who elected us. Problem solving is what politics is about, whether it's developing policy, in legislation, or in work in the constituency office. It's where Alliance has led throughout this crisis, whether that's in our proposals to overcome the seemingly irreconcilable positions on the Irish language adopted by others, or publishing our Brexit paper, Bridges Not Borders, with practical solutions to the almost existential challenge that that poses to Northern Ireland. Alliance will never simply stand on the sidelines, wringing our hands or worse, add to the problems by pointing the finger. Even if we are at times slipping notes under a locked door, as Stuart so colourfully described it, we remain absolutely determined to play a positive role in getting devolution restored. We remain convinced that only fully inclusive multi-party talks chaired by an independent facilitator can re-establish trust between parties and hold them to account privately and publicly for their actions. They also provide the only prospect of delivering an inclusive executive. We called for them last March. It is time they started. We are proposing transitional assembly arrangements running in parallel with the talks as a step towards restoration of full devolution. To be clear, we want no part in any talking shop. We do not need yet another arena in which MLAs cut lumps out of each other for sport. We need parties to take responsibility. We need parties to take responsibility, and Alliance is ready to do it. By reconstituting our Assembly committees, MLAs can start to do the job we were elected to do, to give advice and guidance, scrutinise departmental spending and planning, and develop policy and legislation. Plenary sessions would allow us to progress legislation via committee bills and private members' bills. The formation of a cross-party Brexit committee would give Northern Ireland a voice in discussions which are shaping our future without us. And the reconstitution of the policing board would ensure oversight required to maintain public confidence and accountability in policing. These time-limited transitional arrangements would allow parties to deal with issues of substance and real concern to our constituents, to take responsibility in return for our salary, and most importantly, to help clear the backlog of decision-making which has developed during this impasse. We have also proposed that Westminster should legislate for key devolved matters, such as the Irish language and equal marriage, which have become a barrier to progress, erase some of the red lines and change the dynamics of the talks process. Indeed, this week the first steps will be taken to introduce a private members' bill on equal marriage at Westminster, the bill which I was working on as part of a cross-party group of MLAs when the Assembly collapsed. While it has a long way to go yet, it is a major step towards the day when LGBT couples in Northern Ireland will finally be able to say, I do, and get the same recognition and respect under the law as every other married couple, and it is long past due. My only regret, my sole regret, is that yet again it is Westminster and not Stormont that is delivering on rights and equality. Finally, we have identified reserved matters which Westminster should also progress, including, crucially, reform of the petition of concern. Our proposals for reform will ensure that a restored Assembly could deal effectively with other social policy and equality issues and prevent any party from frustrating the will of the electorate. The planned government consultation on enabling legislation to implement the Stormont House Agreement on legacy, the funding of legacy inquests, which David first took to the executive in 2016, and the implementation of a pension for the seriously injured should now proceed without further delay. Victims and survivors have waited long enough. There is a moral imperative to address the issue now. We have shared our proposals with the other party leaders in a genuine attempt to create the space politically in which agreement is possible and an executive can be formed. I remain as convinced as ever that Alliance's positive vision, bold ideas and strong leadership are the only way to move Northern Ireland forward. And I realise the full potential of this society. Northern Ireland has a choice to make. Do we stand still, squander the progress made, and watch new opportunities pass us by? Or do we step forward together, start to build that more equitable and just future, at peace with ourselves and with our neighbours, in which everyone has a stake? Do we allow fear and mistrust to hold us back, to divide and weaken our community, limit us forever to live smaller lives? Or do we step forward together in hope to shape a future filled with possibility and opportunity, where we celebrate diversity as a strength and create vibrant, open and welcoming communities in which everyone can flourish? Conference, I know that this party is not just ready but determined to take those next steps forward in our communities, in our local councils and in the Assembly. The challenge now is to others. Step forward with us. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we take our break and move towards lunch, please take the opportunity to look at all of the stands that are in the hallway. But in the words of Naomi Long, when it comes to openness and transparency in relation to funding political parties, please be open and transparent. Open your wallets and get all that money out, especially those transparent £5 and £10 notes, and put them in the buckets at the door. Thank you very much indeed.